Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Praise be to God. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we thank you that we can stand and come and worship today and we can hear your word. Lord, we pray that you would quicken our hearts, quicken our minds to hear from you today. Lord, as I speak, I pray that you would speak to me. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be me speaking, but it'd be you speaking through me, Lord. Just help us to be attentive to what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. And I already threw the sound crew a curve because I said, before I start speaking, show a video. So, sorry, Andy, show a video. Well, videos like that could go on and on and on. We could spend probably the next day or two just watching those things. Have you ever done that, something like that before? Yeah? Right. Yeah. I think we all kind of go, yeah, I've kind of done it. Hopefully nobody's watching, looking around and stuff like that. We all do it, and we probably get, we get that little reminder we shouldn't do it. We get distracted, and then we kind of don't do it for a while, and then we do it again and stuff like that. Well, we'll get to that video at the end, but last night we had a group, JYF, those letters, and met last night. We talked about serving, and it's very good. We should be serving the Lord and serving at the church, and it actually ties in well with what we're going to be speaking about, and that is knowing God. Sometimes I think we as believers, we get fixed on not just knowing God, but sharing God with others and doing things for God. We get caught up in this, I'm a believer now and I need to do things for God. However, that's great. However, if we do not do things out of relationship, we'll get burned out and worn out and all this kind of stuff because we should do things out of relationship. If you go into work and your boss is just on you and you don't like your workplace or anything like that, you're just doing it, you're just going through the motions. But if you like at home with your spouse, I don't know if it's allowed in church. Was that a holy kiss that you guys were doing over there at Mario? Was that a holy kiss? Can we do that? Can we kiss in church during the welcome time? All right, okay. For those who are watching at home, they're married, just so you know. Okay, so that whole idea of doing things out of relationship because you love somebody is totally doing things just because you have to. So I want to talk a little bit about today, and we're going to be spending probably the next 3 or 4 weeks talking about knowing God, what it really means to know God, because if we really don't grasp what it means to know God, we kind of miss the point on why we should serve. So we're going to be talking about knowing God first, and then later on we'll be talking about making him known. But I want to spend a few weeks talking about what it means to really know God. Things should spring up again out of that relationship and how we know people. So with that in mind, we're going to talk about Enoch. Enoch in the Bible. We'll just kind of read and see where it goes from there. Now, it says, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch for 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. All right, you can't probably see that. Oh, you can see it pretty good. Okay, so here's a chart. If you want to get an idea of how things were back then, I'll kind of step back a little bit so I can see this a little better. Okay, we had Adam starting at like ground zero, right? Adam at ground zero, he lived for 930 years, and it kind of breaks down the chart. And if you go down to, let's see, 7 generations, we get to Enoch. Enoch came on the scene about 622. And then he lived, we'll talk about that a little, for another 365. And then if we see where Noah kicks in, just a few generations later, at like 1056, since the beginning of time as we know it. So that's how things are kind of laid out. So you can see the overlap there, and just see how things were placed out. So Adam actually lived during the time of Enoch. Sometimes we think there's a massive span there. And if you read through the stories in the early Genesis, you can see how the earth got quickly populated by people living 900 years old and having kid after kid after kid, and their kids having kid after kid after kid. And so we get in the situation where there's all these people on the planet, but something is very special about Enoch. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 5 and go into Genesis chapter 6, it will tell you that basically in chapter 6 that the world was a very evil place. In Genesis chapter 6, it's leading up to the time of Noah, where God saw so much evil on the planet that he's just like, I'm going to wipe everybody out, but I'm going to spare a remnant, Noah and his family. Back then, there was all kinds of crazy stuff happening. In fact, I'm just going to flip to it real quick. We won't look it up, and we won't put it up on the screen. But this is what it says. And it says, now it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them. And it talks about the different things that took place. And it says, and the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts and his hearts were only evil continually. And if you read that a little bit, it even sounded like there were demons that came down and had relationships with women, and they had children that were giants and all this kind of stuff. Crazy stuff was happening in a relatively short period of time. Like 1,000 years into this whole earth thing, the things are unwinding. However, in Genesis chapter 5, it says this. When Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. All right, now, I don't know if those words jump out to you. It's kind of subtle in there. It says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah, and Enoch what? Walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And then what happened? God took him. God took him. He was walking with God so closely that God took him. And we only know of two people as recorded in the Bible that God actually took, that they didn't actually die. And that was Elijah, taken up in a whirlwind, and Enoch. These are the only ones that recorded that we know that just went right up into God's presence. And I imagine when Enoch went up into God's presence, it wasn't a big change. You know, it wasn't like, wow, I think Enoch was walking so closely with God that it was just like the next step. Wow, to be walking that close with God. Now, it says to be walking. Have you ever heard somebody say, walk with me? They're going some way. You know, Abe, maybe busy at work. People want your time. You go like, hey, walk with me. Have you ever done that? You know, kind of sounds, I do it from time to time. Walk with me, you know, and you know, come by my side. Walk with me. It's interesting, people today, and especially in Miami, and with the invention of slides, you young people know what slides are, older people, you know what slides are. They're like those slip-on sandals things. You know, they somehow, I don't know, they make you walk even slower than possible. It's just amazing. If you've ever walked with young people, and now I'm going, back in my day, we walk fast. No, but I'm going to tell you, I'm from the Northeast, all right? You went to school in Cornell, in Ithaca, right? Okay, they don't walk like they do down here, right? Up north, we walk briskly, all right? I went to school, and of course, most people were bigger than me when I went to school because I'm still short, but I walk with like my brother and his older friends, and we walked a mile to school every day. No, it wasn't uphill both ways in the snow with glass on the ground. Nothing like that, but we walked like this. You know, we walked to school, and we put a mile in about like 15 to 16 minutes, walking that clip to get to school. I moved down to Miami, you know, started doing campus ministry, going like, come on, walk with me. Just the other day, I was walking with some students, some high school students, They had to get to a track meet just to do something. And like, no kidding. I walked like 4 times faster than they did. And I was trying to walk slow, but they just wouldn't keep up. You know, they put on these slides and stuff like that. And it's like they're stuck to the ground. They go like, and these are like track athletes. You know, they run like the 100-meter dash and are very fast, but they just don't get anywhere. Any of you guys face that frustration, maybe with your kids or anything like that? Maybe I'm just venting. Maybe this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I probably just needed to get this out, and I thank you guys for listening. I don't have to go to counseling over this issue, but I thank you for hearing me out. But it's interesting that in order to kind of have somebody walk with you, they have to walk the same speed as you. They have to go together. And this says, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. In a world that was crazy, Enoch chose to walk with God. That walking with God, that hanging out with God on a regular basis, daily basis, so much that God, the creator of the universe, said, come up here. You know, forget those crazy people down there. Just come up to be with me. Enoch walked with God. Wouldn't you like to walk with God? Yeah, really, kind of, right? We kind of like to walk with God. Yeah, it's a nice wish, a nice hope, a nice dream. Yeah, kind of want to do that. But what is required of us to be able to walk with God? You know, they say something like this, you know, you show me your friends and I will show you your future, right? Or that you're the sum of the 5 closest people to you. That if you took those closest people to you, that you would look kind of like them. If you summed it and averaged it and everything, that's pretty much what you'd be. And if you looked at that, you'd probably go, yeah, looking back over time, that's pretty true. You know, that if we hang around certain people, we become like those people. And we actually start to think like those people. You know, I could probably become a dolphin fan if I hung around dolphin fans long enough. No, that's probably not true. I could probably never become a dolphin fan. But I think you get the idea, right? If you hang around certain people, all right? Like I don't like Heat basketball a whole lot, but if somebody said, hey, Bob, I'm going to take you to like Heat basketball games for like 10 games, the first couple of games are like, yeah, that's okay. But after a while, you know, I'd probably be like a screaming fan because I get to know people and everything like this, because I would start to like the things that the people around me liked. It's just natural that we start to do those kind of things, that we become like those people that we're around. So Enoch walked with God. And we want to spend time talking about what it means to do that, what it means to walk with God. Now, I want to read one more passage in Hebrews 11. This is in Hebrews 11, it's basically called the Hall of Faith, you know, things that happen, or the chapter of faith that it talks about faith. It talks about the faith of Abraham and Noah and all these kind of things. But this talks about Enoch. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God in a time where the earth was so vile and so evil, but Enoch pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of what? Of those who occasionally seek him, right? Or I, you know, every Sunday seek him. No, it says who diligently seek him, who diligently seek God. So do we want to be taken up like Enoch? Do we want that? Well, it says we need to diligently seek God. Now, not diligently seek God out of, well, if I really want God to bless me, I need to spend this time in prayer today and impress God that I'm trying to diligently seek him. But no, it springs out of that relationship with God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the coming weeks, we'll be looking at other people in Scripture and how they did things to diligently seek God, the time they spent to God, the conversations that they had with God, and all these kind of things. We'll take a look at that and see that greater. But we don't know exactly what happened with Enoch, but we do know that he walked with God. He was at the same speed as God. He was right there alongside of God. He knew God's heart. When you know somebody, you know their heart. When you know somebody, you know their thoughts. You can almost say, you almost can finish their sentences, right? Husbands, have you ever finished your wife's sentence or kind of jumped in the middle? Not a good thing, is it? My wife always says to me, let me finish. And I'm like, I'm trying. But, you know, us guys, we kind of know what they're going to say already. Not that we do know, wives, okay? But we think we know what they're going to say in advance. So we'll, like, respond. And then it'll be like, well, why didn't you let me finish? And I'm like, well, because I knew you were going to say, which is also another bad thing to say, right? You just got to say, yes, yes, dear, I'm sorry. Those are probably the best used words. But we know our spouses so much that we tend to know what they're going to say next, and we, like, jump in, which is always bad. Okay, but it's that close relationship that you have with somebody that their thoughts are your thoughts, and your thoughts are their thoughts. We kind of have an understanding with each other. You know, they say, for those who are dating, we have any people dating here? Okay, good. I'll speak honestly. They say, and I heard Bob Barnes say this, he's a Christian counselor with the president of Sheridan House. He says, dating is a lie. All right? Dating is a lie. No, not dating is a lie. No, it's a lie. You know, we always look our best and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we overlook those things like even somebody picking your nose is cute. You know, the way you pick your nose is so cute. Or we don't even say it. We just kind of go. But, you know, then we get down the road, the relationship develops, and it kind of goes like, oh, you no longer open those doors for me? Yeah, okay. And so dating is kind of a lie because we really don't know the person very well. Now, if you know me, you know, my wife gets on my case. See, sometimes I'm so, where I live in Cutler Bay, like, I'm like a Cutler Bay guy. Sometimes I walk out to the car in my boxer shorts, you know, just because I'm like, I'm hanging out. But I would never do that. Like, first day I moved into Cutler Bay, like, I want the neighbors to think I'm a little better than that, you know. But I do that. My wife would go like, what are you doing? I'm like, come on, let her hair down. This is okay. So it's that building of a relationship where we know what the other person is thinking, where we're so in tune with them that we know what pleases them and what doesn't please them. We know that because we spend time with them. And I believe Enoch knew that. He knew it for 365 years, it says? Wow. That's a lot of time hanging out with God. Was Enoch perfect? No. It doesn't say in there that Enoch was like a Christ type. Before Jesus came, there was Enoch. No, it doesn't say that. I'm sure he had his flaws and his foibles and all these kind of stuff, but he walked with God. He walked with God. What does it take to know God? What does it take to know God? It involves two things, I think. It involves, number one, time. Number one, it involves our time. To know God involves time, spending time with God. Now, I don't mean hanging out with God and just like sitting in a room and meditating. Empty my mind of everything. You know, no. The Bible says we don't empty our mind, but we fill our minds with stuff, right? We replace one mind with the other. We don't just empty our minds. A lot of mystic religions in Hinduism, Buddhism, they'll say, you know, empty your mind of everything. No. You fill your mind with something, one or the other, okay? So we fill our minds with things. So it's that mind. It's the time that we spend with God. And the number one thing we should use in our spending time with God is God's word, all right? Everything should align with God's word. We are living in a society and a world where we're biblically illiterate. For the most part, praise God, you're in a church or you're in a church that actually preaches from the Word of God and looks at God's Word. And in the Sunday school classes and stuff, and in Eugene's class, they get into God's Word. I talk to so many young people who are Christians, who are saved, who trusted Jesus, but have no idea. No idea. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's just their how they've been brought up. They've kind of missed all that. So God's Word, everything that God would speak to you aligns with God's Word. And many times He speaks to us, and almost all the times, from God's Word. All right? So we can't easily say, well, I'm just going to hear from God. You know, God wants me to do this and do this. Well, does it align with God's Word? So we need to understand that we need to spend time with God. But we also have to have the mind to spend with God, not just the time. Last night we were talking about Zoom sessions, about having Zoom sessions. And one of the problems with Zoom sessions is what? You know, sometimes I'll lead a Zoom session with college students, and I'll have all these little black screens with names. And I'm like the only guy out there. I'm like, hello? Is anybody out there? Hello? Is anybody going? Is anyone home? And you don't know, right? And I've been in Zoom sessions where I've kind of, you know, not made myself visible, muted myself, and multitasked, right? Or at least goofed off, you know, go to the kitchen, get a cup of coffee, come back, go back, and, you know, it's kind of, yeah, I'm still here, you know, just kind of, you know, playing around. We can give the time to it, but not the mind to it. The mind to it, to fix our eyes on the Lord. The Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Who diligently seek after Him. And we're in a society so much today that there's so many distractions, so many things running through our mind that it almost makes it almost unfair to try to seek God with all these kind of things going on. Back in Enoch's day, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have any of this stuff. So maybe a little easier. We have so many distractions that would come upon us. I saw a meme. I couldn't find it. I think it was a selection of like a video of different memes. But it showed a dog being walked by a man, and the man was being walked by his cell phone. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we're all just kind of leading each other down the road and stuff like that. And we can get so preoccupied. But again, the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Are we willing to diligently seek after God? I want to just kind of throw this out there. I think that we all need to basically, or at least I do need to, as I speak to myself through many of these times, we just need to go and say, God, I want to be engaged in my relationship with You. I want to be engaged in this relationship. I just don't want to spend kind of time with You and not really be engaged, but I want to be engaged with You. I want to spend not only time with You, but I want to spend my mind with You. In this next week, say, God, I want to have a walk with You that is so close that we start thinking the same. And the things, this is, let this, the Bible says, let this mind of Christ be in you. And it talks about, in Philippians there, it talks about who Jesus came as God, but came became a servant. And it talks about, don't think about the things only about you, but think about the things of others as well. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do we want that mind? Do we hunger after that mind? Do we diligently seek God? And I have to tell you, I don't diligently seek God near as much as what I should. Near as much as what I should. Because I go like, I'm okay. Better than most. Better than some, not as good as most. Whatever, we even look at it. It's kind of like driving down the road. I was driving back from, I drove up to Flat Rock, North Carolina back this week. And my motto, and I probably told you this before, is when I drive, faster than most, slower than some. Because if I'm the fastest car out there, I'm like, there's maybe something I don't know about, you know? So I slow down a little bit until like a couple cars pass me, then I speed up. And I used to think like back in the day, how many guys were drove when the speed limit was 55 miles an hour. There was a speed limit. Okay, right, okay. 55 miles an hour. Good old Jimmy Carter, you know, whatever. I'm not going to politics, but anyway, didn't I? Okay, but Jimmy Carter, 55 miles an hour was the speed limit. And when your car got to like you were like pushing it, like when you hit like 62. You know, like, well, I'm like flying now, 62. And then they bumped it to 70. And I was thinking like, 74 is good, you know, that's probably good, maybe 75, 76. And sometimes my daughters will come to and from Orlando to home, and I'm like, and they'll call me and say, hey, we made it home. I'm like, that's impossible. How could you go so, you know, you must have gone really fast. I found myself like going normally like 80 miles an hour just to keep up with traffic, you know? And so it's that whole idea of just as we, you know, spend time with God, we have to understand that we don't need to just settle for, well, I'm better than most. My coworkers, I know Jesus, you know, but do we really want to diligently seek after God? Do we want to be that guy who's got his foot down on the gas pedal for God? Everybody else is going 70, 75, and I'm going to go 100 miles an hour for God. Right here, just put it to the floor. And that's how we can know God. To know God, Enoch knew the Lord, walked with God, and was taken up. Now, I doubt. Now, we may all be taken up. The end may be coming sooner than we think, or not, you know, about the same time. We may be taken up soon in the rapture. But understand, God wants the most important thing. God doesn't want you to necessarily serve in a church or serve in a ministry without knowing God. All right? Some of you guys, you have children. Can you imagine your child? Or a grandchild. How many grandparents here? I don't think this is the grandparent group. Okay, maybe going to the next service. But if a child, you know, you want your child to what? Spend time with you, to love you. You don't necessarily want your child to just to do things for you, right? Your daughter, you don't want her to say, hi, Mom. You know, and you say, what do you want? You know, I just want to spend time with you. Come over here and say, I want to sweep the floor. Now, that may be, at this point in life, that would be really encouraging, like, sweep away, dear. But, you know, when they get older and older, and they just, you know, they're just doing things for you without spending time with you, it's kind of missing the point. The whole idea is that relationship with you. You want your child to love you, not just do things for you. And sometimes we as believers, we get mistaken in thinking that we should do things for God. I don't know about you, I got my table filled with good things, but are they God things? Do we look at our lives and say, what am I doing that's good, and what am I doing that's God, and kind of realign ourselves? Well, that comes with spending time with God, to know what he really wants you to do. So, yes, serve the church, serve outside, but it's not about serving. It's about knowing God, knowing God. It doesn't say anything about Enoch. And Enoch served God, and God took him. No, it says Enoch walked with God. So the encouragement today is walk with God. Draw closer to God. And he'll draw close to you, the Bible says. So in the coming weeks, we'll look at some others. We'll look at Abraham. We'll look at Moses. And look at their interaction between them and God and things that we can glean from that. But today, just that whole idea of walking with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you showed us in your word that it's possible to have a closer walk with you. Lord, so many times we compare ourselves to others in the church, maybe to others at work, to others at school, and we can kind of get the idea that we're doing okay. Lord, but we see that Enoch walked with God. Lord, help us. Help me to walk with you closer than I have ever walked before. Lord, and I pray that you would reward us. Lord, you say you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek after you. That as we hang out with you, that we would start looking more like you. Lord, that we would take on your characteristics, that we'd be more loving and forgiving and kind and gracious and merciful on those around us. And you'd open our eyes to greater things, the need for the lost around us. Lord, I pray that as we draw closer to you, that you would help us just remove those scales from our eyes that are missing all the things around us. And we thank you. We thank you for the example of Enoch. Lord, I pray that that we would have that heart to seek after you, to walk with you. Lord, make that be in my life, that I would truly walk with you, not behind you, not in front of you, not dragging my feet, but staying right up with you. And we thank you for this time that we've had in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.